The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode number 38 of Black Mental Matters. Vince the Voice. Makeba won't be with us this week, but just send her some thoughts and prayers, would you please, for her and her family. This program, in the middle of what is all going on quite a bit, whether it's the protests, the COVID, the trauma that we're seeing on television against so many. I mean, the list goes on and on. We got Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Laquan McDonald, Tamir Rice, Walter Scott, Freddie Gray, Jamar Clark, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, Stephon Clark, Botham Jean, Breonna Taylor, and now George Floyd here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And as a result, here we are with demonstrations and protests all over the world. Black men shot down, unarmed by the police. And while these are so prevalent, the thing is, it has just happened over and over again. Yet, the black man, the black woman, the black family have continued to survive. And in doing so, have helped facilitate great change that has positively affected folks, again, from around the world. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you and yours are safe. This is Black Mental Matters. Gerald A. Griggs is an Atlanta attorney. He's dedicated to equal justice for all, tenacious trial attorney, zealous advocate on the front lines. We call him the justice fighter. Welcome to Black Mental Matters, Gerald.
Thank you for having me, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing right now?
I'm tired, but I'm focused because we have to get justice for our people.
You know, I know, you know, I follow you on social media. I mean, I was wondering, when do you sleep, man? Or can you sleep these days?
I've been sleeping a little bit, but right now, it's not time. Yeah. It's not that time.
It's not that time. Well, I've entitled this Why Black Lives Have Always Mattered, man. And so it came to me. I saw an interview with Spike Lee the other day, and he was talking about America and the fact that it was just built upon, you know, first took the land from the Indians, brought us over here, enslaved black people, you know, the Asians, everybody. And here we are, you know, fast forward to today, and we're still kind of fighting some of the same things. It's been a consistent thing, but yet the black man, the black woman has been integral in this development of this country, yet we get none of the respect, we got going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, we've been the forefront of civil resistance. We've been the forefront of resistance since the beginning. And we're not really asked for credit. We're asking for the justice that was denied to our ancestors. So I do understand that people feel like this has been a continuum for 400 years. But I think we are seeing the witness of the last vestiges of white supremacy. And we will overcome it, because Martin went to the mountaintop. We at the mountaintop now, and we about to walk over and get to the promised land. So I understand people are weary and tired, but you never get weary and tired in well-doing. It's time for us to reap. This season is now.
You know, you make a point always to talk about young people, you know. For me, I want to also pay homage, though, to those older, and we're going to get back to the younger. But when I see, a black man, you don't know all the things that he has gone through to get to this point. We just see maybe he's got kids now that are graduating from Morehouse or Emory like yourself. Just historically, again, I want them to realize that, Gerald, because it's not like this, just like you say, it didn't just happen. This just didn't happen today. It has been our ancestors, man. I want to give homage. But you work with the young people, man. What's on the minds of these young people today? What are they saying to you?
Man, these young people are so fired up. They're so energetic. They are so our ancestors' wildest dreams, and I'm so proud of them. And the one thing that I tell them is to remember they are on a continuum. That Dr. King shut down public highways. The highway from Selma to Montgomery is a highway, and they marched through a highway. So I just want them to be focused and remember that, you know, John Lewis started at 13. Dr. King started in his 20s. You know, C.T. Vivian was in his late 20s, and they're just walking in the footsteps of their ancestors. And don't let any of the older civil rights icons who may have lost their way, discourage them. Keep doing what you're doing. We're going to support you because the time is now and the time is right. It's always right to do right. And injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So I'm going to listen to the words of the previous leader, Dr. King. I'm not going to listen to folks who say they were around Dr. King, because if they were truly around Dr. King, they'd be marching with us right now.
You are on literally the front lines, man, the front lines. And this program here, Black Mental Matters, and I think, you know, what does it take? And forgive me, I felt guilty. I know I got to do, I'm going to do something. I listen to you say, hey, if you're sitting at home, then you need to do something else, you know. But what the mindset, man, that it takes to effectively do what it is that you do, man?
You have to have the courage of our ancestors, the ones that were strong enough to realize as they looked at the last picture of the West Coast of Africa into that dark sea of oppression that we have felt when we step foot on this land, and realize that they are lifting you up and you are standing on the shoulders of giants. So whether I get there with them, with these young people or not, I need them to understand that we will be bold. We will not bow our backs. We will not bend over anymore. We will not take it anymore. We are destined to get our justice, and we're going to get our justice, and we're going to look the system directly in the eye and tell it to be what it says on paper.
You know, Gerald, I think I may have shared with you, I'm from Gary, Indiana. Mayor Richard Gordon Hatcher was my mayor as a kid. I always saw people that looked like me that were in charge. You grew up in this area here in Atlanta, which is called, you know, the Mecca for folks. How important you think it is for what we do here, what you do here, not what you do here in Atlanta, because it does kind of set the standard for all Black communities, I think.
Yeah, it does set the standard. And what we have to realize is, you know, everybody that looks like us isn't us. So if you're not carrying the torch of freedom for melanated folks, you need to get out the way. Yes, we will join with any color, any creed, any religion, any sexual orientation, but we're going to focus and center this work on Black people, because we have been carrying the lion's share of the oppression, and we know what oppression feels like. So whether it's a Black politician or a white politician, if you are currying favor with the system of white supremacy, you will be called out. And so I'm appreciative of being born and raised in Georgia, born and raised in the cradle of the civil rights movement, born and raised in the new birthplace of the social justice movement. But I'm telling people, this is about ending this once and for all. And if you're not on the side of justice and equality for all, you're going to be a footnote in the annals of history.
I have gotten some messages, some emails, some, you know, inboxes from some of my white friends giving support. What about you, man? Because for some, sometimes, you know, they think, you know, because you're, you know, doing this, it means you're anti that. No, we are pro Black folks, not anti white. Yes. Right.
You know, it's not anti whiteness. You know, we can be pro everybody, but for too long, we were marginalized in our Black by saying, well, what about everybody else? And I love everybody else. I've marched with the Women's March. I've marched with March for Our Lives. I marched the Healthcare March. I marched so much in Atlanta that I think my middle name is March. but what I need for folks to understand is, if you truly are an ally, you will march with us when we're dealing with these situations. We don't have armored tanks and the National Guard and all these other things when we have those other marches. But when you are aiming at the heart of white supremacy, you start to see the true colors. This is what Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee about. You said that protest was not right. We took peaceful protests. You said that protest was not right. And let's get something straight. The people that are damaging property are not the people that are marching. These are outside agitators that want to deflect from the overall picture. And what I would say to my politicians is, everybody's taking notes right now. We're taking notes about who called in the National Guard. We're taking in notes who's saying who should gas folks and who should be on the media talking about everybody should calm down. Where was that energy for Jamarion Robinson? Where was that energy for Jimmy Acheson? Where was that energy for Oscar Kane? Where was that energy for Kane Rogers? Where was that energy for Anthony Hill? We want justice, and we will get our justice. We will make this system apply the pressure that you're trying to apply to us back on the system and get justice for these families that are hurting. George Floyd was just the tip that broke the camel's back.
Oh, we had just you know, were dealing with the Ahmad, and mm-hmm. Then we saw, you know, that craziness,
Breonna,
Breonna, and
now we're here with George,
all in the midst of a pandemic, and yet still on the front. So when folks say, you know, the question again was why Black Lives have always mattered, and it's going around the world. You know that what you're doing is affecting folks in New Zealand and Denmark and places that I would have not had a clue, but that's why Black Lives have always mattered, and Black Lives do matter. Now, you're the co-founder of the Georgia Alliance for Social Justice. You're first vice president for the Atlanta chapter of the NAACP, which I want to applaud, because you guys, man, you're bringing it back. You know, people think about the NAACP as, you know, old school, some do anyway, but you all are really doing some great work, and I want to take my hat off to you and Richard Rose and everybody, Karen, Renee, yourself again, for the work that you're doing. How important is it for our communities to support organizations like that?
It's very important because, you know, the NAACP is the oldest and the coldest, the most cussed and discussed organization in the country.
Wait, say that again. Wait. Hold on, bro. When you're the oldest and the coldest.
The oldest and the coldest, the most cussed and discussed organization. When you say those letters, a chill goes down people's spine because you see W.E.B. Du Bois, you see Ida B. Wells, you see Thurgood, you see Walter White, you see Roy Wilkins, you see Fannie Lou Hamer, John Dale Johnson, you see just so many people, Julian Bond. I mean, just the list goes on. Daddy King, Dr. King, you know, everybody come through the association. So for people to say the association is old and antiquated, I need you to do your recent history and your old history, because the biggest march for Black Lives was put on by the Georgia NAACP, and that was in 2016. And this is just a continuation. But this time we're not going to stop marching. That march was for 4 days. This one's going on 6. And until we get justice, there will be no peace.
And so the real thing that we are looking at right now is that all these officers there in Minnesota, not just Chauvin, but all four of them, first of all, need to be charged, correct?
Lock them up, convict them all, send them to prison, period.
You also spoke about 21st century policing in your post, which that's what drove me. I said, man, I got to call my brother right now. And because we want solutions. We don't want to just leave this thing. We got to have a game plan, as they say. So speak about that just a little bit.
Yeah. So after Mike Brown in 2014, 2015, President Obama convened a task force to get to the root problem of the issue of policing. And they issued 94 recommendations, 6 pillars that are the solution. The problem is not one police department, not one government agency or government has implemented all 94, and it has not been codified into law. So we're calling on our lawmakers to stop talking and to start legislating, because my good friend and my brother and my icon in the movement, Dr. King, says 3 ways to get change. There's agitation, legislation, and litigation. We need legislation and we need litigation. So the President Obama 21st Century Police Initiative will do that. It will remove qualified immunity so we can start suing folks. It will remove the reasonable fear doctrine so we can start locking folks up, because that's a Supreme Court case that issued that edict of the reasonable fear, where officer says, I'm in reasonable fear for my life, so I can kill folks. It's a 1989 case. So again, the NAACP is focused on structural change. Thurgood took down separate or equal because he attacked Brown versus the Board of Education. We gonna take down reasonable fear doctrine because we're gonna attack the Gresham case, the 1989 case that gave us this bedrock principle of law. And so it is our duty, those who are oppressed, to resist the oppression and to change the rules and to change the law.
Are you getting any acceptance or at least dialogue with law enforcement? Are they open to discussing these kinds of things?
I don't really care what law enforcement says. They're not the law. I am an officer of the court. So judges and lawyers are the law. And so law enforcement needs to understand your job is just to bring the people to court so they can answer for the charges. And if it's one of your brothers in blue, they need to come too. So what I want people to understand, this is not a us versus law enforcement problem. This is a us versus changing the law problem. And I need my lawyers and my judges to step up in this moment. We swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Georgia. And it's time for us to start doing that. Get off the sidelines and get in the game.
for people. I know you got to, you took time, man. You got to get back to court, but some final words, man. Again, this is such a time. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of the health disparities. Now we're in the middle of, you know, protests all around the world. Justice Fighter, give us some final words, man.
I love the moment that we're in, because this is the moment that our ancestors are smiling down on us and saying, you guys are continuing to fight. We got comfortable. It's time for us to get uncomfortable, because change comes in that uncomfortable moment where you're growing. I love my white brothers and sisters that are allies. I love my brown brothers and sisters, our Latino brothers and sisters that are allies. I love my people that love a little differently, because they're our allies. I love our differently able people, because they're our allies. It's time for us to join together and stick a dagger in the heart of the system that oppresses us, and that's white supremacy. So let's do it once and for all. Join us on the front lines. Don't believe everything you see on the media. Come out to the protests and see for yourself. It's a giant love-in where we're demanding that our country be what it says on paper. If you want to talk about Dr. King, be like Dr. King. Dr. King was in the streets. He was protesting with the people. He was protesting the oppression that was coming from our government. And now it's time to hold our government accountable. And to the 45th president of the United States, you talk a lot of stuff, but when it really hits the fan, you in the bunker. Mm. How about this? Mm. How about you come and join the people, listen to the people, and legislate for change? That's my message to every elected official. We're watching, and November's coming.
Boy, that would be such a sight. It's Gerald A. Green. What's that A stand for, man? I give you A+. I'm changing. Gerald A+.
Yeah, it stands for a lot of things. I'm named after my father, so, yes. You know, it stands for that. But I just want people to understand right now it stands for professional agitator.
Amen. Amen. And that's why Black lives have always mattered, because they produce folks like Gerald A. Griggs. I saw him a while ago on the tube this morning with the students from, the protest that here in Atlanta they charged the officers with. Chris Stewart, yourself.
Shout out to all of them. All of the lawyers on the front line. Miley Davis, Chris Stewart. Lee Merritt, Benjamin Crump, Justin Miller, Miguel Dominguez. We got an army. We got a legion of young Thurgoods. And so I just need the rest of them to step up. It's time for us to use the education that our families fought so hard for to get access to. Now let's bring it back to the community and let's liberate our people.
I'm going to do something right here live on the end, and I'm going to let you go. You done fired me up so much, I feel so remiss. But what I'm going to do, I'm about to send $500, man, to the Atlanta NAACP.
And, we appreciate that.
I appreciate you, man, and the work that you do. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Gerald A. Griggs, and this is Black Mental Matters. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you, brother.